Let me set the scene for you. Today, the Son of God finds himself 25 miles outside of familiar territory. He and his disciples are standing right smack in the middle of an area known as Caesarea Philippi, a place that those more learned in the importance of geography recognize as the one area where during the days of Christ, nearly every religious association of the times intersected. So the first thing we need to imagine is that today there stands before us a man by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, a penniless Galilean carpenter born in a cave, surrounded by 12 ordinary men held in no esteem in the eyes of the world, only one of which is educated. That would be Judas Iscariot. He's the smart one, the one who will soon go on to betray the master. Meanwhile, hostility is growing all around them because news is spreading faster than ever by means of Jewish leaders that they are now plotting and planning to destroy this rebel-rousing Jesus, for he is the cause of division and strife among so many of the Jewish groups of the times. So there you have it. And there they are standing right in the heart of Caesarea Philippi. This is a context that serves as a backdrop to a set of questions pouring forth from the mouth of our Lord, whose answers have served to carve the path of history in a course that can be denied by no one. He's standing there with all the Greek gods looking down upon him. They're walking along a road that is littered with temples of Syrian gods, very close to a place that exists where there's this huge white marble structure that is the home of Caesar, who claims to be divine, who demands that he be worshipped by all. And that's not all. The Israelites themselves recognize that Caesarea Philippi is the place where the very springs of the river Jordan bubble out from. And we know the importance of the river Jordan, the place where John the Baptist began baptizing, the place where Jesus was baptized. And they're all standing right there. Jesus of Nazareth, his disciples, right smack in the middle of this intersection of deities, of wonders of nature, of mythical gods. And it's within that context that Jesus asks those closest to him, "Who do you say that I am?" Now, who's he really asking that question to? He's asking that question to all of those whom he has called to follow him, who've eaten and shared time with him along life's journey. In other words, he's asking that question to each and every single one of us here tonight. No one leaves this world, the place where every mythical deity under the sun intersects. No one leaves the heart of Caesarea Philippi, known as planet Earth, without answering this question in some shape or form, and I don't care who you are or what your current belief system looks like. At this very moment, the resurrected man, Jesus of Nazareth, stands today in the midst of Hinduism, Buddhism, Judaism, Islamism, Gnosticism, atheism, Satanism. Oh, and let's not forget the New Age, the occult, the Wicca, and the list goes on. Matter of fact, they say there are over 4,200 world religions out there today. And he's right smack in the middle of where they all intersect, and the one man asks one question. And that answer to that question determines the destiny of every individual who either ignores it or responds to it. Either way, the destiny of one and all is wrapped up in a single question posed by a single man today. Over the last couple of years, I've been blessed to have journeyed alongside Len Ruggins. Len's a parishioner right here at St. Peter's, battling cancer. He came to Mass last Sunday, and then that evening, one of his internal tumors started bleeding, and so he was rushed by ambulance to the foothills. And on Tuesday afternoon, I went to the hospital, and we had a great visit. And I bestowed upon him the incredible gift that God makes available to all peoples, last rites. And after having prayed the apostolic pardon over him, I assured him that the state of his soul at that moment was the same as if he had just been baptized. And he smiled from ear to ear while staring in front of him, and he said, "A brand new life. And a brand new start." And he shared with me how he'd been reflecting a lot lately about the words he wants etched upon his tombstone, his epitaph. And here's what he came up with. "Our deeds in this life will determine our destiny in the next." Within 48 hours of my walking out of his hospital room, Len went on to experience the first day of his brand new eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. We're going to be celebrating his funeral mass this Tuesday morning coming up at 11 a.m. at St. Peter's. Pray for Len. Pray for his family. I've been a priest long enough to know that it doesn't matter who we think we might be of importance in this world, or if we've espoused a belief system that is so unique and different from anything else in the known universe. Just as there was an appointed day and time for our birth, so there is an appointed day and time for our death. And our Lord is still standing right there, right smack in the middle of the intersection point where every belief system converges. And he's asking you and I one question. Who do you say that I am? There was once a rich man, and he wanted to affect the quality of life of someone who was not as fortunate as he was. So he came across a poor carpenter, and he hired him to build him a house. And he said, "Now, this isn't just going to be any old house you're building here. I want you to build this house using the absolute best of materials. This home is going to be for a very special person. Spare no expense. Use only the finest building materials. Hire the best workmen you can find. Build for me a masterpiece. I'm going to be traveling for a couple of months, and then when I return, I expect this house to be completed." The poor carpenter, he saw this as a stroke of luck, an amazing opportunity to make tons of cash for himself. So he skimped out on all the building materials, hired unskilled laborers, paid them below minimum wage. He covered all their mistakes with more plaster and with paint, cut every corner that he could. When a rich man returned, the poor carpenter handed him the keys and said, "I followed your instructions. I built you that masterpiece of a house for that very special person." "I'm glad you did," said the rich man. He handed the keys back to the poor carpenter and said, "That very special person is you." who do you say that I am? And how we answer that question determines the building materials of our daily deeds that we make use of every day as we build up the destiny that awaits us in the life that's to come. Saint Rose of Lima, she was blessed in such a way during her life that the master builder would speak to her as I'm speaking to you. And in her writings, she penned down the following for us. Our Lord and Savior lifted up his voice and said with incomparable majesty, "Let all men know that grace comes after tribulation. Let them know that without the burden of afflictions, it is impossible to reach the heights of grace. Let them know that the gifts of grace increase as the struggle increases. Let men take care and not stray to be deceived. This is the only true stairway to paradise. And without the cross, they can find no road to climb to heaven." Did you get that? Take care not to stray, to be deceived. The only true stairway to paradise is the cross. Without the cross, you'll find no road that climbs to heaven. Today, the only human being that's ever resurrected from the dead stands right there, smack in the middle, 4,200 world religions colliding head to head. And from there, he asks a single question. Who do you say that I am? And that's a question that's not really answerable by words. It's a question that we answer by deeds. Our deeds, lived out with faith in this life, will determine our destiny in the next life.